You. I want to have you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. We'll be Mark today. Chapter 12, verse 28. We'll start in verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. The Great Commandment. Jesus is answering questions. People have come to him with questions, and one particular scribe has recognized his response as being very wise. So he's coming to him with a question. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he, that is Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all your heart, all the heart, and all the understanding, and all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, which is our instruction in our lives, how we should live and follow you. We just pray that you would open our hearts and have us learn today what you would have us learn. Despite that we may think we've heard this before, that we would pay attention and understand that this is the foundation of our Christian life. Lord, just pray for our time, pray that you would bless it, and that you would use me as your tool for truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said at the beginning of the verse, he's responding to a conversation he's just had with the Sadducees. They'd had an argument. Well, the Sadducees came to Jesus trying to trick him into disproving the resurrection. They'd come to him and asked him, if a man marries a woman and he dies before they're able to have children, it's the Jewish law for the brother of that man to take the wife and continue the bloodline. And they continue on, if they were to do this, the man had seven brothers, and the first brother died, and so the second brother took the wife to be his, and each one passed on, and no one never had any children. Their question is, in the afterlife, in the resurrection, whose wife would she be? And Jesus responds eloquently and says, there is no marriage in the afterlife. You will be like angels, he says, and continues on and uses scripture and says, do you not remember in Moses where God spoke from the burning bush and said, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob, speaking about them as they were living men, not I was, but I am. So the scribe comes and recognizes that Jesus is very wise. So he comes with him with this question, verse 28, what commandment is the foremost of all? You have to understand, he's not asking which commandments are invalid, or which commandments, should we pick these and throw out the rest? But there was a debate at the time as to the weight of the commandments. You have to understand there were 615 commandments from in the Pentateuch that they had to observe. So there was a constant question as to, well, is this more important than this? And so the debate had been going on. So he recognizes that Jesus is very wise and wants to get the final answer from him. So Jesus responds and he summarizes all 615 of these individual commandments. He says, verse 29, Jesus answered, "Therefore, the most is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus is using a familiar passage to the Jews at this time, because any devout Jew would spend his morning and evening reciting the Shema, which is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." So he started with a familiar basis. And like I said, they would recite this every morning and every evening. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And it's referenced in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. You can turn there if you like, but I'll just read it for you. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." They need to be with you at all times. And then he adds on a verse from Leviticus 19, verse 18. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So Jesus gives us, in this passage, a new Shema. Something that it's our foundational instruction. We should wake up in the morning reciting our Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor. But of course, for us to be able to do that, we have to understand what love means. We know that God is love. 1 John 4:3 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So for us to know God is to know love. Until we understand how God loves, we cannot live out the great commandment. We first of all need to understand how God loves. God has been love since before the creation of the world. John 17:24, Jesus is talking to the Father, and he says, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." His love extends. God has been love since before the creation of the world. It's important to also notice that love is not God's only characteristic. He is love. He also is a God of judgment. He is a God of mercy. He has many characteristics. So I'm not focusing on God as love, as that is the only truth about God. But I wanted to focus on that today. So I want to make that clear. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit have all loved each other equally since before the creation of the world. Now, this was something that was sort of new for me. In exploring this thought of God is love, the fact that God loved the Son and He loves the Holy Spirit equally. He loves both of them. And the Son loves the Father and the Holy Spirit equally. So when you think about how much the Trinity loves each other part of the Trinity, it makes sense why God would create us for worship. Because we bring honor to those other two parts. The Father, if we worship and love the Son and obey the Holy Spirit, we are bringing honor to the Father. Jesus also perfectly obeyed His Father. And He showed His Father honor when He died on the cross. We oftentimes get stuck on the fact, and it's not to devalue what the cross means for us, but we often say that Jesus died on the cross for us. He did die on the cross for us. But he also died in obedience to the Father. The Father brought Jesus to that point so that he would be glorified and we would glorify him in his death. And Jesus honored the Father and showed his love for him in his obedience to the Father. It was Jesus who said, "Not my will, but yours be done," to the Father. So it brings me to my second point. God loves us. God loves every one of us, regardless of how sinful we are. He loves us personally. And he shows us this love by the giving of his Son. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He loves us, and he wants us to honor the Son and the Spirit in the same way that the Son wants us to honor the Father, etc. And we also know the words from John 3:16 very well. "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That is the kind of love that God has for us. He loves us so much, he would give his Son to die on a cross for our sins. And the Son loves the Father so much that he would obey him in doing so. There is no greater joy than knowing that God and the Son and the Spirit loves each of us personally. It wants us to bring true joy and happiness. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." God loves you personally. So which brings us back to our passage. God commands us to love him in a way that he shows love to us and to love others. So let's read it again. Verse 29. Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.'" So how do we show our love to God? Say, first of all, by reading his scripture. We spend time with him in reading his word. That is how he communicates to us. And by spending time in prayer, in communication back with him. That's how we communicate with God. And we show him we love him by putting him foremost in our lives. He should be the center. On the throne of our life should be God. We also love God when we love others. God showed his love for the Son and honored him, and the Son obeyed the Father and showed his love for the Father. We should show our love by loving God first and then showing how he loved us to the world. We need to see that love in our lives. We love others by showing love as God would. We are his examples in this world. I'm going to tell you a story about a family friend. They met a homeless man. He'd been riding the rails all his life, pretty much. From the time he was in early high school, he'd left an abusive home and had just started riding the rails. And he'd become addicted to alcohol and drugs in the process, and this man needed to see love. That was the bottom line. And this friend, this family opened their home to him, despite his problems, I mean, his issues, as you might see it. They invited him into the house and let him sleep on the couch and just started loving him. They just wanted to show him the love of Christ. Through that, cleaned up. He stopped using alcohol and drugs, and today is a great testament to what love can can bring people out of. He works, this is back in Idaho, he does regular ministry. I mean, it's at a limited level. The alcohol has damaged most of his brain functionality, but he still serves God, and he takes that love that he was shown, and he shows other people. And I would say that was quite a bit of love that family showed. They had little kids in the house to take that kind of faith and want to show that kind of love to that man. I could only wish for a tiny percentage of that kind of love. We are to love others. We are not to love others' sin. If we are to love people in their sin, we are to love the person, but we are not to love the sin. God cannot be a part of sin, but he tells us to love them because God loves them, even in their sin. So we are not to love others, the sin of others, but to love others in their sin. The scribe responds in verse 32. He says, "Teacher, you have truly stated that he is the one, and there is no one else besides him." He's showing reverence to God here, as the Jews did at the time, by not using the word God. He refers to him as him, which is why he changes that. "And to love him with all our heart and with all our understanding and with all our strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." I started thinking about what kind of things we put in front of our love for others. He's referring to burnt offering and sacrifices, which God commanded the nation of Israel to do. We are no longer held within those commandments, but we still have certain traditions that we like to hang on to and that make us comfortable especially in our church. So I challenge you to think about the things that you put in front of love as far as reaching other people. Can someone who doesn't know Christ walk in here and feel immediately comfortable? Are you willing to sit by them and maybe explain some of the things that may seem unusual? They may have never sung a hymn before. Or what's this passing of the plate stuff? What do I do there? How can you extend love to that person and just show them what those things are about? I think that's probably one of our biggest obstacles in the church now is loving others as they are, the same way God would. I was trying to think of an example of, sometimes it's hard for us to look at someone and love them wearing all black, with a bunch of piercings all over, and maybe they've got spikes coming out of their head. But God commands us to love them regardless of what they look like. Jesus says here, verse 34, "When Jesus saw that he had answered him intelligently, he said, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" He says, "not far." It's emphatic in the Greek. It says, "You're well on track. Just keep on with that." And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. I find that interesting, that the object we're talking about here is loving. And I have to believe Jesus answered in love and saw that love, and no one was able to bring any argument against him. I had a friend that I worked with. We were living in Seattle, and we got into some we like to discuss things. We would go back and forth on different issues. Sometimes it got pretty deep. We'd talk about string theory and biomechanics, and we talk about minor issues too. But the thing that we could not agree on was the topic of creation versus evolution. Obviously, I believe in creation. God created our world in 6 days. But he was stuck on the topic of evolution. No matter how much evidence I brought to him, he would not listen to the words that I was saying. It was not until I finally showed him love, just accepting him as he was, as a person, loving him as God instructed me to, that he finally would listen to me and begin to think about some of the things that I was telling him about creation. So I would challenge you, as you engage in conversations with people, the foremost thing, the thing that should be in the front of your mind, is loving that person rather than winning the argument. We are commanded to love, not win arguments. So we can share this new Shema. We can use this new Shema to remind us how we should live our lives. It should be written on our hearts, first of all. We need to think about and memorize these words. Tell it to your children. Your children should hear what it means to love others. Talk about it in your house with your neighbors as you invite them over, as you walk, when you get up, and when you go to bed. Remind yourself as you go about it, about your day. I would challenge you. I'm a visual person. I like seeing things as reminders. So my suggestion to you is write out these words and put them the first place you'd see in the morning, is on your night table. So when you wake up in the morning, you begin your morning with, I should be loving God first and showing love to others. Let it direct your day as you start out. We are commanded to love God and to love and others in the same way that God loves us. In conclusion, I have a quote from C.S. Lewis, which I rather enjoyed. He says, "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as you do this, we will find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him." Would you close with me in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for the love that you showed the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the love that is so bountiful in heaven. We thank you for sharing that love with us and sending your Son on the cross to die for us. And we pray that our hearts would focus first of all on you and what it means to truly love you. And secondly, what it means to love our neighbors. Lord, as we go about our week and the people we interact with, please help us to remember that we are to show love to them. And in that love, they will see you. In Jesus' name, amen.